Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, MEAC fans. It's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAction with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 151 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. The Major League season is winding down. A lot of fantasy seasons are, you know, maybe over for head-to-heads or you're in your championship. Roto's coming onto the wire. But the grind here on Toolshed never stops. We have another fun episode in store today. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, how good was the Pitching Ninja, you know, video or whatever you want to call it that he put with Sister Jean striking out Javi Baez?
The best. If you're offended by it, I'm sorry. You're probably a Tigers fan, but it was hilarious and it was true. Like, Javi Baez swings at everything. You know, let me just look up his O swing percentage this year.
It's high. Quick.
It's probably the highest in the league if I had to guess.
It's very high.
47.9%. That's nearly 50% of the time he's swinging at pitches out of the zone.
That makes like Vlad Sr. look like Ichiro or something, you know? Like
he is the highest in baseball by 3.5 percentage points over Nick Castellanos, surprisingly.
Oh, wow. That's not who I thought would have thought would have been second.
No, me either.
But Baez being first doesn't surprise me.
No. I'm ashamed I have him on a dynasty team. I'm so ashamed.
I don't think I have him in any dynasty leagues. Maybe one, but I did get him a couple redraft leagues this year, and it was painful to say the least. He has picked it up a little bit.
Yeah, he's been better
here of late, but still, you look at the totality of his season, it was just obviously wasn't anywhere close to what you were expecting when you took him as a, what was his ADP, like 75-ish, give or take a little bit?
Probably in that range,
you know, like round five or so, or round six of a 15-teamer, seven of a 12-teamer. But he's just been an absolute dud. And he kind of leads us into our discussion today. We won't be talking about him, but we'll be discussing second half studs and duds. You know, a lot of interesting players that have had big second halves or really tailed off in the second half. And we'll dive into a lot of the notable names. We'll try not to talk about guys that we've talked about a good amount recently, but there's still a lot of good names on this list. I've got a couple news notes to start the show. But before we do, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. And our show is at FanTrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us. You know, as little as $5 a month, this gets you extra content from both Chris and I throughout the offseason. And access to our Discord, which is a great place. What a fun chat, baseball chat in there. Next level up, you get extra podcasts as well. And the next level up from that is when you get the fun live dynasty and prospect ranking. So what a fun stuff. And we're going to be putting out a lot of content throughout the offseason. So we'll go check that out, patreon.com/FanTraxToolshed. And, of course, check out all the other great work from the entire team over at FanTrax HQ. All right, Chris, let's get into it. A couple bits of news and notes here. Just two today. Well, technically three, but we're lumping two of them together because they're on the same team. That is Tyler Glasnow returning and Shane Baz not returning. He's been on the IL, but Tommy John surgery for Shane Baz, unfortunately. He'll miss the entire 2024 season, or excuse me, 2023 season. If anything, maybe you get what you saw from Glasnow this year, handful of innings under the year, but let's just say he's out for the entire year. But good thing, Tyler Glasnow's back, looking as nasty as ever. Pitched three innings the other day, three strikeouts, gave up one run. And, that was today, wasn't it? Yeah, that was today, actually. Yeah,
pitching today.
Yep, today. So I was thinking it was yesterday for some reason. My days are all mixed up this week. But let's start with Glasnow. Start with the good here. You know, Glasnow is obviously one of the, nastiest pitchers in baseball. This is, I think, a top 10 just talent in terms of for pitchers overall in the league. Like, you look at the last, handful of years. 2019 had a 178 ERA, 33% K rate. 2020 was 408, but xERA was about a run lower than that, 38.2% K rate. Last year, 266 ERA and a 36.2% K rate, and that was in how many innings he threw last year? Just 88. That's the thing. He's never surpassed 111. That was back in 2018 when he came over from Pittsburgh that year. So not a lot of volume from him, but obviously the quality is very good. And even last year, he added that slider as well, which was a very good pitch. 197 batting average against, 424 slugs. So he did give up a few home runs on it, which had that slug go up, but 46.3% whiff rate. Obviously has the big fastball, nasty curve, which maybe is the best curveball in baseball, at least in the discussion. Where are you at on Glasnow here, Chris, both for Dynasty and 2023? Is he someone you're looking to buy back into?
Yeah, but breaking news, Aaron Judge just hit 61. So props to him. Yes.
I should have had the game on next to me. I forgot to put it on.
Yeah, just hit a bomb. So nice. Side note there, but I like what I've saw from Glasnow today. You talk about the slider. It averaged 91.6 tonight. Like, that's ridiculous. For reference, he averaged 87.5 on it last year. I almost feel like it's a good thing. Tommy John's out of the way. He did average a 98.1 on the fastball, which was up 1.1 mile an hour from last year as well. Those are encouraging things. It was a small sample of 50 pitches, but overall, good performance. You saw him throw the fastball, slider, and a curve, and he mixed them well. Again, 25 fastballs, 15 sliders, 10 curveballs, and 50 pitches. So what you really want to see there encouraging things. Obviously, you're not going to get the full extent from him this year because he's not going to he pitched today. He may get another outing, but it's not going to be much. Like, he may throw four innings next time. So it's hard to say for sure, but I think he's a decent buy low. I think you buy in on him right now because while he hasn't surpassed a high total of innings, like you mentioned, I still think that there's good value to be had with him. So yeah, he's a good buy in my opinion. I really like him moving forward.
Now, where do you think he can get back to? Let's say you get a full year from him, or I don't know. What would even be considered a full year for Glasnow? Let's say you get, this might even be high, but I'm going to be a little bit optimistic here and say 140 innings from him, which would be a clear high by a lot, but 140, is he ace material for you? I think he is.
I think so, because, I mean, look at Spencer Strider with the similar strikeout rates that we saw Glasnow put up, and Strider's throwing 131 right now, and I think you'd easily say he's an ace. So, yeah, I'd be happy with 140, you know, elite innings from Glasnow. Like what we saw in 2021, like what he put up, you know, he put up a 2.66 ERA, sub one whip, 36.5% K rate. Like, yeah, that'd be phenomenal. So I'd definitely take that.
But what can we realistically expect though? Like 100 maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to hope, like, you know, he had the surgery to clean everything up. You got to hope that everything's behind him, but I don't know. I think it's even risky to expect 100 innings. So I don't know how I value him. Obviously, I love Glasnow. It's, you know, him adding, you know, he control got a bit better. Adding that slider was huge. I think really, really huge to his overall success. So people can't really sit on that fastball curveball. And like we said, it was a nasty pitch at that. It's not he added the show me pitch. He added another formidable offering to strike out guys with. So I think next year I'll probably value him as more of an SP2 with elite, you know, top 10 upside, and just cross my fingers for like 120 plus. I think that can get him in SP1 territory. But just in general, Dynasty, I think I'm still buying right now. If you can still get him for a nice discount, I would. I think as we get closer and closer to, you know, next season, you'll get in spring training next year, you see how good he looks there. Even if he has a, you know, successful postseason run with Tampa Bay and pitches well in the postseason, you're going to see that price tag just go up from here. So I think that right now is a good time to buy still, but that time is going to be closing pretty quick. As for Shane Boz, really unfortunate. We interviewed Shane Boz, or I did over on Five Tool back in 2020, and he was a great interview. He was very knowledgeable and very driven, and then he did everything he said he was going to do in 2021, and improving his, you know, really, really improving his command and control, like in spades, and he's got the nasty stuff. He's got top 10 upside as well, and we've seen that in very small glimpses, but he's almost going down the Tyler Glasnow path here of just not being able to stay healthy and on the mound. Now we won't see him for at least the next, you know, 12 months or so, maybe even not until, you know, beginning of 2024. You know, how far down your rankings does this drop Boz for you, Chris? Like, for me, I had him, he was like right around 100, give or take. You know, he kind of fluctuated depending if he was out or coming back. But now I dropped him down, I think, into the 175 range. Like, I'm still a huge Boz guy, but at this point, I'm getting pretty concerned with all these injuries.
Yeah, he went from Adam 63 in like the early season update, and he's at 178 right now. So
okay, so I think we're in a similar. Yeah, where did I have him? Let's say in March, I had him. March, I had him at 87. Let's go to like here's June. I had him 57. He was probably healthy then. Yeah, now I have him. See how close I was guessing. I put him at 166 right now. So it's hard though.
Yeah, so I have these two back-to-back, but who would you rather have in Dynasty, Shane Boz or Brady Singer?
I mean, that is very interesting because obviously, you know, both are healthy. It's an easy pick, but man, that is tough. This is tougher than I thought it would be. I think I would still lean Shane Boz for playing the long game here, but Singer's made strides and he was pretty damn good second half of the year, but that's tough though.
Yeah, would you believe he has a sub 3 ERA right now in 147 and 2/3?
He still does.
2.99. Yep, it's crazy.
He's been, and this is a guy I got wrong, and I'll even give my buddy Michael Govier a shout out. This is someone that Govier wanted to add. I was kind of like, I don't know, and he was kind of, you know, lackluster for his next handful of starts, but then after that, it was like three starts later, he started like bum. He's probably been sub two ERA since that point in time of the season. So I think he was like 4.5 at that point. So yeah, Singer's been pretty damn good here, kind of quietly. It's also Kansas City, so nobody realizes it.
Right, exactly.
Unless it's one of like the young guys like Witt and, you know, Melendez and all them. Like one of them does well, you notice it. But like a guy like Singer does something good. Does anybody really care because it's in Kansas City? I mean, he should care, but
right,
just how it goes.
Yep, exactly.
But man, yeah, I don't know. Baz—he's so tough right now, because almost like Walker Buehler. Like obviously the talents, and you know, Buehler is obviously much more established than Baz, but both are now gonna be out until 2024. Both have top 10 upside. Buehler's been a top 10. Baz not really quite yet. But would you buy low if the price was right? You know, let's say it's 80 cents on the dollar or something like that. Would you buy low on Baz right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think if the price is right, you definitely do it. So he's still got the upside and the talent, but I think as the season progresses next year and he doesn't pitch, I think the cost will probably go down. So, you know, people kind of sour on him and it creates good buying opportunities. So yeah, I'm definitely on board with buying at the right cost.
Yeah, as am I. All right, going over here to one notable promotion happened today. Logan Ohapi being promoted by the Los Angeles Angels, went over there in the Brandon Marsh deal at the deadline. And, you know, I think Ohapi is probably one of the most underrated prospects in all of baseball. And I put out a tweet, this was 2 weeks ago now, but you know, it was prospects that had at least 200 plate appearances this season, walk rate above 10%, K rate below 20%, and an ISO of 200 or higher at max age of 25 to get out all those 27-year-olds that are, you know, tearing up AAA. And the list was about, I don't know, 12 or 13 guys. It was Anthony Volpe, Curtis Meade, Edgar Cuero, Miguel Vargas, Eddie Rodriguez, Colt Keith, Manzardo, Spencer Steer, Dustin Harris, Angel Martinez, Edison Polino, Moises Ballesteros, Wenciel Perez, and Logan Ohapi. You know, he overall this year, 447 plate appearances, / 283, 416, 544, 26 bombs, 7 steals, which kind of surprised me, but 15.7% walk rate, 16.6% K rate, and a 261 ISO. I mean, I think we both are developing a little bit of a prospect crush on Logan Ohapi. Like, we saw him out in the AFL last year. It was very impressive. You know, everything you hear about him is golden, even, you know, his leadership in the clubhouse and stuff like that. So I think this is a guy that could maybe be like a back-end top 10 fantasy catcher down the road that doesn't get nearly as much love as he should.
Yeah, now he's in Oregon. I think he can really thrive. Just no pressure, just go play type thing.
Yeah.
You know, of, as you mentioned, some stats, like his WRC plus this year was 159. Like, that's pretty impressive. Among all minor leaguers with 250 plate appearances, which basically filters out all the like DSL and like short season guys, he was sixth in WRC plus. Von Braun was ahead of him, who's 24. Kyle Manzardo, 21 years old. Nico Cavadas, 23. Kerry Carpenter, 24. Then Indy Rodriguez and Logan Ohapi. So the younger guys, you have Manzardo, Indy, and Ohapi. So a lot of talent there. You nearly walked as much as he struck out, 16.6% K to 15.7% walk. Really good profile all around. He was one, as you mentioned, the AFL that kind of caught my eye. I was like, oh, this guy's, you know, never really heard of him until then. He's like, oh, pretty solid guy there. So, you know, what he's done's been good, and he's been even better since coming over to the Angels. So I'm really excited to see what he can do in this last week of run. Like, he should play every day. So I'm really excited for the opportunity to see what he can do. And I think he's going to be a really solid fantasy guy next year.
Yeah, he's kind of been – I didn't think he's going to get the call this year, honestly. So when I was putting together my initial 2023 rankings, I started with catcher. And I've added him in, and I'm not sure where I want to put him. I mean, I think if he gets the, you know, do you think he gets the starting role next year? I mean, it kind of signals that they want to do that at least.
Right. I mean, who's going to, unless they go out and just sign somebody, which I think would be pretty, you know, dumb on their part. Like, I mean, Max.
But this is the Angels we're talking about, Chris.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So, I mean, worst case, I feel like he splits time with Max Stassi. I mean, Suzuki's retiring. I think Max Stassi is around next year, but let's see.
But he's always hurt.
Yeah, he stays hurt all the time. So, you know, I think that Ohapi could, you know, end up with a bulk of playing time, which would be awesome. Yeah, they signed Stassi to a 3-year extension. So he runs through 2024 with an option for 2025. But again, you mentioned he's already 31. He gets hurt a lot. So I think Ohapi's got to be the regular guy there.
Yeah, as of now, I put up 18th in my catcher rankings, which I think was fair. He's kind of in he's in tier four, but I might move him up. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think 18 is fair?
I think that's safe, honestly. Like it's
he could be higher than that.
With what we know right now, I feel like that's a decent spot.
I put him there just because I looked who else I had. Like Francisco Alvarez, I put 15th. So I probably could bump him up a couple as well. And for anybody listening, these will be out on Patreon when you're listening to this on Thursday. So go check that out as well. But catcher's actually pretty damn good next year. But
you got
to add, probably Alvarez will be up early. You got Ohapi. Who's the other one? Oh, your Langoliers, maybe Marino. So a little bit of young talent being added there. But yeah, I like Ohapi a lot. So great buy, any format, you know, early next year for redraft. Dynasty, I think he's still a great, good value buy as well. But again, I think the buying window will close on him pretty quickly once people realize how good he actually is. So go and get him now. All right. That's it for news and notes. Just those few things here today. Over to duds and studs. We got a lot of fun names on the list here. Let's start with the duds. That's what we usually do. Get the bad names, the fallers, the duds, all those out of the way first. Let's start with hitters here. We got four names on the list here. Like I said, we tried to filter out. We had more. We filtered out some of the names we've already talked about recently. But we got CJ Cron, Giancarlo Stanton, Ketel Marte, and Ty France here. Who, Cron was – I think Cron's the one that's affected me the most. I've never been a big Ketel guy. I had France a little bit. I didn't get any Stanton shares this year, and I don't have him in Dynasty. I've just never been, I never wanted him just because obviously all the injuries he's had over the years. But CJ Cron, I think, is the one that affected me the most because he's a guy that I liked a good amount coming into the year. He had a pretty solid year last year. Obviously in Colorado, loved that. So I got a good amount of shares of him. But, second half of the year, he's been, I wouldn't say unusable, but when you look at his first half of the year, 298, 350. Oh, wait a minute. My page just jumped on me here. There we go. 298, 350, 552, 21 bombs, 69 RBI, 55 runs scored in 90 games. Second half, 211, 276, 368, with only 8 home runs in 54 games. And he's hit 221 in July, 248 in August, 222 in September. Look at his home road splits. They're pretty egregious. Literally 300 point difference in OPS. Man, I don't know. Did you have any shares of Cron this year? Out of these four, is there any one that bit you more than the others?
Probably Cron. I don't have a ton of him, but I had the most of him of any of these. But yeah, the second half's just been kind of ridiculous. Like the crazy thing is he's striking out less. Like he struck out 26.2% of the time in the first half and just 25% in the second half, and he's walking more. But his slug in the second half is barely higher than his on base was in the first half. Like, craziness. But 62 WRC plus, like, that's awful. And I don't know. I'm just a little bit surprised. And you mentioned the home road splits are obviously going to be extreme with a player like this. So it's not a surprise in some way, but Coors normally keeps you boosted up enough to maintain a solid slash and all. And at the end of the day, like you look and his numbers aren't going to be awful. Like he's going to end the year with 30 home runs, most likely in a 265 average. So like people are going to buy back in. I think I'm just interested, like who is the CJ Cron that we'll see next year? And that's what I think is the biggest question mark. And I don't know. So yeah, it's a bit concerning.
Will the real CJ Cron please stand up?
Please stand up.
I mean, one of the leagues I had him in was my home head-to-head keeper league. Because obviously head-to-head, he probably hurt more than he did in Roto. Obviously, he's still getting the totality of the stats. But yeah, he was really, really bad for me in the second half of the year. I said OPS was below 700, so it sucked. I said I didn't have many shares of the other three. But on the flip side, which of these four, Chris, are you – like if you had to buy low right now in Dynasty on one of these four, which would it be? Oh,
gosh, that's
– for me, it's probably either – actually, I don't know. It's not Stanton.
Nah. Yeah. I lean France.
Yeah, I was going to say France, but I can make a case for Cron and Marte as well.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'd probably maybe would lean – if I had to pick one, I'd probably go France. But I can make a case for three of them.
I lean France because France has elite zone contact, And we know that he has the power. Like, he has good overall contact, but pretty elite zone contact, which is a pretty big stat that I use a lot. So, yeah, I think there's been some things that have gone wrong in the second half, but I don't think it's non-fixable. And he just turned 28. So, yeah, I think that it's possible that he rebounds and has a strong year next year. Especially, like, you know, the Mariners are good this year, but I think they'll be even better next year. So, like, you get on a contender, and I think he'll be fine. And, you know, he hasn't been good in the second half. Like, there's no good way to put that. He's hit 223 with 9 home runs. So, like, the power's still been there. But at least, you know, we're still getting that, even though the batting average has not been good. His strikeouts has been identical first and second half, 14.8%, which is really good. So, like, that shows you, like, he's going to come back around. I'm not overly worried about him.
Yeah. Same here. I do wonder if maybe when he was doing really good earlier in the year, like, he had, like, well over 300 each of the first 2 months. I think it was, like, over 330, actually, each of the first 2 months. I wonder if I think I might have gone too high on him in rankings, because, you know, he doesn't provide, you know, any speed. And so he's a good bat, but, like, maybe he's, you know, just back end top 100 guy, and not, like, I think his value was, like, pushing top 50 at one point. I think that's a bit high for his profile. But, yeah, I do agree. I like France to bounce back a bit here, too. So don't go crazy to get him. But he is a very solid bat. Same with Crone. I think Crone will be okay as well. Or, you know, Crone's always kind of been inconsistent, you know, throughout the course of a season. But, you know, the stats are usually pretty solid end of the year. Yeah, even this year, you know, 20 home runs, 81 RBI for France, 274 average. And, you know, For all the listeners, Chris, what if you're looking at some of these guys? Is it guys that might not have performed well, whether it's over a month or a second half of the season, or maybe even a full season, and you're looking to identify a bounce back candidate? What are like a few metrics that are your go to metrics? Obviously, zone contact is one, but what are some others?
Yeah, I mean, you look at obviously BABIP, like if they ran a low BABIP, which is prone to happen over like a shorter period of time. So, like, if they're running low BABIPs and high contacts, then you normally feel pretty good. The strikeout rates being low is good, as I mentioned with France. Also want to look at, like, exit velocities and that sort of thing. Like, players go through stretches of bad luck. Like, that's just part of baseball. And, you know, we're quick to write them off. But, like, at the same time, like, the difference in Ty France and Giancarlo Stanton for a bounce back quote per se is pretty, you know, easy for me to pick Ty France. Ty France has a 92 point something zone contact rate. Stanton's is 74.7. So Stanton's still striking out a ton. He's not making good contact, while France is. Like, of course, when Stanton makes contact and elevates, like, it's going a mile because he hits it extremely hard. But yeah, I think that those are the things that matter. Like, you look at, you know, what kind of BABIP a player's running, then you look at strikeout rates, zone contact, that sort of stuff. Like, are they chasing a lot? Like, is there second half or whatever been bad because their O swing has gone up, chase rate, and, you know, that's a possibility too. So all those things kind of to look at, but, you know, it's hard to nail down like one specific stat, but I do kind of look at all those things and look for some of the parts.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. You know, definitely look at approach metrics, you know, whiff rates, chase rates, you know, contact rates. Absolutely. One other thing I look at in particular is, and it's not like one stat, but if there's any, you know, if, for any metric, is there like an outlier? Like, was this year an outlier? Like, let's say someone's been like 90%+ zone contact their, you know, last 5 years, and all of a sudden they're down to like 82 or something like that. There's like a noticeable kind of an odd change in a metric. Like, all right, maybe that's an outlier for whatever reason. Maybe they're battling an injury we don't know about, but wherever it may be. But I kind of look for outliers, like something that goes against the grain of what we're used to seeing from that player in that particular metric. So that's another thing I kind of look at as well. But yeah, definitely approach. You know, I like looking at barrel rate a lot as well. And obviously hitting the ball hard at a good launch angle is usually, you know, usually good things happen. So if they have a good barrel rate, that's another one I look at as well. All right, over to the pitchers here. We get a trio of names here, all of which were probably drafted, you know, as two. So one was definitely a top 10 arm in ADP this year. The other one probably back in top 20, and the other one, yeah, probably back in top 30. So all top 30 arms, all probably top 100 picks, if I had to guess.
I'm almost certain they were all top 100 picks.
Yeah. Pablo Lopez is the one I'm questioning if he was top 100, but if he wasn't, he was close.
Yeah.
So it's him, Lucas Giolito, and Frankie Montas. So let's, you know, Lopez is the one we haven't really talked as much about lately. And, you know, he was actually pretty good like earlier in the year before the All-Star break, 18 starts, 286 ERA, you know, 104 innings, 107 whip, 101 strikeouts, 32 walks. And then since the All-Star break in 13 starts, 548 ERA in 69 innings, nice, 18 walks, 66 strikeouts, and a 1.36 whip. So I think the K rate is still about where it was. You know, it's not like any big, you know, differences in his walk and K rate, but just, you know, giving it more hits, giving it more, but giving it more home runs, home run rate's up as well. It's giving it more contact in general. That whip's, you know, I said, up almost 0.3 overall, second half to first half. But overall, you know, 390 ERA, which is right around his career mark of 399. So maybe it was just a case of he was pitching over his head earlier in the year. And, you know, maybe he's closer to, you know, not closer to the second half, but maybe he's just not that first half guy. But what are your thoughts on Pablo? Are you buying in? Are you, you know, or what? Where are you at on Pablo?
And I stand corrected. You were right. His ADP was 141. I thought it was higher.
Oh, it was 141. I was thinking it was like 105, 110 or something like that.
Yeah, but I thought so too, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's tough. He's progressively gotten a little bit worse, it feels like, all year. He was so good in April and May, like absolutely dominant over that stretch. You look at the ERAs by month. April, 23 innings, a 0.39 ERA. May, 35 and two-thirds, 2.78. June, 28 and two-thirds, 5.34. July, 4.65 ERA. August, 4.61. And September, 5.33. And ERA is not everything, but it certainly matters, especially in a profile like this, when you're not getting elite strikeouts, like 23.5% this year. He is 173 innings, is a career high by far. Like, durability was a concern with Pablo because he had never thrown more than 111 innings. And he always had an injury concern with shoulder stuff. So it's good to see him stay healthy. Maybe fatigue's a factor. I don't know.
I was just thinking that too. Yeah, maybe it's a fatigue thing.
I mean, you're looking at a career high by 60 innings. So it's highly possible that fatigue has really gotten to him. So, you know, I'm curious. Like, maybe the price is depressed enough next year where I'm willing to buy back into him. In that case, like, if he goes late enough, then I probably will. So I think he could be a 25% K guy with a mid to upper 3s ERA, which is fine, like, depending on the price. But, you know, this year, just seeing him slump has been tough to watch.
Yeah, it definitely has. Another Judge thing real quick. I saw this tweet by Fox Sports MLB. So obviously Judge hit 61 tonight, and it was 61 years ago that Maris hit 61 in 1961. So it's a lot of 61s there. That's just kind of funny how that all worked out. But, man, that was six decades ago. Oh, my word.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, maybe 62 is right around the corner. I was wondering, like, God, has he hit a wall? Is he feeling that pressure? And, you know, there's a lot of pressure, obviously. You're trying to break a six-decade-old record that a fellow Yankee set, and a lot of people still consider the, you know, home run record, or at least the clean one. So it's a lot of pressure. So, but yeah, I'm happy to see. I like Judge. I'm a Red Sox fan, but I like Aaron Judge. He seems like a very likable dude. I'll take him in Boston next year. Come on over, Aaron. He'd hit 80 in Boston.
That'd be nuts.
He would just destroy that monster and the seats. Let's be real. He'd be hitting it over the monster seats on him. But
yeah,
can you imagine? I want to see if I can find out how many of his home runs he would hit at Fenway this year. It would have been a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
But all right, back to the pitchers here. And Giolito and Montas, you know, we talked about Giolito. He, you know, I think we put it on the sheet, was it about a month or so ago? Like, is he broken? And then Montas just has not been the same since going over to the Yankees, which was my fear. Like, I was like, all right, I like Montas in generally. Just take everything else out. Like, take the team, the ballpark, division out. Just look at the pitcher himself. I like Frankie Montas. I think he was a very good number two arm, but I think he did benefit a bit from the spacious confines of Oakland and the fact that outside of Houston, you know, the AL West has not really been a hitter's, you know, division, so to speak. Seattle's been getting better. Texas is always in the middle of the pack overall. And who's it? I'm forgetting. Oh, the Angels are just like, you know, it's like Trout and Otani, and then that's it pretty much. So obviously better division for hitting, AL East, a lot of hitters ballparks. So, you know, not overly surprised to see him struggle like he has. And that's a 6.35 ERA at 8 starts. So, again, I guess similar question to you here, Chris. You got to buy low on one of these three for Dynasty. Which one is it?
Well, there's been signs of life from Lucas Giolito this month. And I'm so afraid to get burned again, but, you know, there has been positive results. His strikeout rate's back up this month. The walk rate is fine, 8.6% this month. Does still have a high whip, but the ERA's dropped back in the threes, which is an encouragement. You know, 3.74 this month, but still a 5.58 ERA in the second half is just mind-blowing. So I think he's the toughest to buy back on. Montas, like, I don't want much to do with at this point. Pablo may be the safest bet, honestly, despite his second half. Like, you just feel like safety, and I think fatigue was probably a factor. So I probably could buy in on Pablo, but knowing that you could buy in on Lucas Giolito and he has the most upside.
Yeah, I'd probably go either Giolito or Lopez. I said, and how long is Frankie Montas with the Yankees? So it's at least one next more year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, then he's a free agent after that. So he's one that I can see buying back into once he's not with the Yankees anymore. But obviously, he's going to be there. They acquired him. They're not going to trade him again this offseason. That would just be very peculiar and un-Yankee-like. So he's going to be there next year. And yeah, this is not like the walk rate has gone up with the Yankees. K rate's gone down. He's under a K per inning now. He's already given up 6 home runs in 39 and two-thirds innings. Like, he's given up a lot of home runs. He only had 12 in 104 and two-thirds innings with Oakland. So, yeah, it's definitely a higher home run rate in with the Yankees, higher walk rate, like I said, lower K rate. Just not good. I want to see what's he done in Yankee Stadium this year, so I can pull that up real quick.
Bad, bad, bad. That's what he's done.
Yeah, probably. let's see here. Where they break it down by stadium. Where is that? It's down here somewhere. 1 second. That's opponent. I think there's ballpark. A Yankee Stadium. Where right there. He's had 4 starts in Yankee Stadium, 5.40 ERA in 23 and a third inning. So yeah, and then Oakland, 12 starts, 2.36 ERA. Let's look at the rest of the AL East to see
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Tropicana, got 0.79 ERA in 2 starts in Tropicana. He hasn't pitched in Toronto yet this year. Fenway, 3.60 ERA. It's really just Yankee Stadium. He hasn't really done bad in the other ones. But, yeah, he's going to pitch half his starts there. I just don't like the fit. So I'll be okay to buy back in like a year or two, but not right now, as long as he's with the Yankees. The other two I could buy back in on, like I said, Giolito, highest upside. Still has some decent metric. He hasn't been quite as bad under the hood as his surface ERA and whip might indicate. Well, the ERA indicators are like in the low 4 range. So I could buy back in depending on the price. You know, obviously I'm not expecting him to go back to being an ace, but could I see him getting back to like being a top 25, top 30-ish arm? Absolutely. I think that could happen. And Lopez, you know, see how he responds next year, you know, without having the big innings jump. And I think he's a decent buy low as well. But all right, let's go ahead and take a quick break to get a word from our sponsor, and we will be right back.
As you know, Fantrax Toolshed is sponsored by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance 4.0 package. So join over 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off plus free worldwide shipping. Just use the code TOOLSHED at manscaped.com. The 4.0 package has arrived, as I mentioned, and it's a game changer. Inside this package, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, the Crop Preserver ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver toner, the Performance boxer briefs, and even a travel bag to hold all your goodies. The Lawnmower 4.0 is the trimmer, is the future of grooming, and dare I say the greatest ball trimmer ever. I'm blown away by his performance and his craftsmanship. The fourth generation trimmer features cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their skin safe technology. Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and has a 4000K LED spotlight that you need for your most precise shaves. Because it's waterproof, you can use it in the shower and say goodbye to the mess on your bathroom floor. You thought that was great, but Manscaped also takes your grooming game to the next level with the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer, which is also waterproof and provides the same proprietary skin-safe technology to help reduce nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose holes. The Crop Preserver below-the-waist deodorant and the Crop Reviver below-the-waist toner will change the way you approach your daily hygiene routine. And Manscaped will even throw in two free gifts in their Performance 4.0 package. It's the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. So get some new tools for your shed today. Bring your comfort and boxers to another level. It's time to take care of yourself. So go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code TOOLSHED. That's right. Do it today. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer we have for you with 20% off and free shipping using the code TOOLSHED at manscaped.com.
All right. Welcome back from the break. All right, Chris. So when Chris does the ad read, I have it timed out so I can run to my kitchen, get a little snack, refill the drink. I don't know if you can see this, Chris. This is, you can tell winter's coming when I'm drinking eggnog.
Eggnog, nice.
Are you an eggnog fan, Chris?
I like it, but I'm not like overly crazy about it.
So you're like middle of the road on
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. It's probably a good thing it's only out for, you know, what, 3 months a year, whatever it is. Because if it was out year round, that would be a problem. So, but I just got a little glass of eggnog here, which is, it's funny. It's out earlier and earlier every year. It used to be like Halloween-ish would come out. Now it's coming out like mid-September. It came out like a week and a half ago up here in Maine, at least. So maybe it's a little too early, but I love eggnog, so whatever. Same thing with pumpkin. Pumpkin comes out in like July now. So
right. It's ridiculous how early all these holiday stuff starts.
I love when I see like Halloween stuff out in like early August. I'm like, gee, it's still 2 months away. And yeah, there's no... It's really the big marketable holiday after like 4th of July stuff. I can see that. It's like, obviously you don't do like Labor Day stuff and there's no other holiday in that range. So I get it. But like, man, it's like, wait a little bit. And then after Halloween's done, next day, Christmas stuff.
They
skip Thanksgiving. You know, like screw the turkey. Let's go right to the Christmas stuff. Anyway, we're not going to break down, you know, stuff here, but let's go over to the studs of the second half here. And we got a lot of names on the list, but I also just pulled up, started with hitters here. The second half, WOBA, you know, I got the second half stats here up on Fangraphs. It's sorted by, what's a good minimum PA for second half? Like 100, is that fair, Chris?
Yeah, I would think so.
Right, let's go with 100 minimum PA. It might maybe a little low, but then you sort it by, sort of by WOBA. That's easy to sort it by. And let's get pages up to 50 players per page. There we go. So obviously it's Aaron Judge. You know who's second in WOBA second half of the year for 100 plate appearances,
Chris? No.
I'll give you a hint. He's very old.
Albert Pujols.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's nuts. That's absolutely crazy.
Second in WOBA. I'm like, Pujols had second half. And this is nothing related to the show, but it's just kind of funny. He's at 164 plate appearances in the second half. He has 15 home runs. Only 19 runs score total. It's just kind of funny. But
that's hilarious.
435 WOBA, which is still 100 points behind Judge's 534, which is absolutely insane. 27 home runs second half for Judge. But right after that, Eloy Jimenez is third in WOBA. Nathaniel Lowe, Mike Trout, JT Realmuto, who is flirting with a 2020, or he probably won't get there. I think he's going to be a couple of steals short, but that is insane for a catcher. And he's at a 314, 377, 602 slash. Then you got Altuve, Goldie, obviously, Shohei Ohtani, Yordan, Michael Harris is 11th. And then rest of the top 20, Justin Turner, TJ Friedel, oddly enough. Joey Meneses, I love how the Nats keep trying to like push Joey Meneses on people on Twitter. Like, yeah, we know you traded Juan Soto and this is all you have to talk about right now. So that's kind of funny. JD Davis.
Huh. Yeah, his are platoon. I feel like he's just like a hefty platoon split.
And he's got a 35.5% K rate in the same time period. Yeah. And then you got Alex Bregman, Bo Bichette, Freddie Freeman, Nolan Arenado, Julio Rodriguez, a lot of the usual names. You get Trace Thompson, Seth Brown, Andres Jimenez, Manny Machado, and sneaking in with 101 plate appearances, Reese McGuire is 25th. That's very odd, but yeah, so a lot of fun names in here. Anthony Santander is on there as well. He's on our list. We'll start with him. Second half of the year, 259 plate appearances, 18 home runs, which I believe is second behind Judge.
Second
to Judge. Also has 35 runs scored, 42 RBI, you know, doesn't steal at all. So he's got to be there with the bat, but he's been, you know, quietly really good. He's dropped the K rate 18.1% in the second half, 277 ISO, 265, 320, 542 overall slash line with a 143 WRC plus. He's kind of flown under the radar. You know, he's a second half stud, but no one's really talking about him. You know, so is he one that you're going to be valuing a bit higher next year, Chris?
I don't know. I just have to wonder if it's a career year. You're right. He's flown under the radar, but like, what's the cost going to be on him, I guess, is my question. Like, it's been a really good year, and he's really picked it up in the second half, as we've seen. Right now, 33 home runs on the year. Like, how much does the price get inflated? And that's – I don't know. I guess that's my concern with him. Like, I just don't want to buy a career year on Santander. So I just don't know.
I like saying Santander. I don't know why.
I think that's right. I just pronounced it wrong.
I don't even know. I don't even know if – whose way is right. I just like saying it. That's how I'm going to say it, because it sounds fancy. There's actually a bank in Massachusetts. I think there's a string of banks in Massachusetts down there where my kid's mother's family lives. And it's called Santander. It's spelled the same exact way, too. It sounds fancy. So I've always gone with that. But yeah, he's been very good quietly. I don't have any shares of him in any league. So I'm kind of disappointed in that. But right below him, just because he's also on our list, and right below Santander and actually tied with him in the bowl by second half of the year, Stephen Kwan, 324, 393, 448 slash in 291 plate appearances, 47 runs scored, 5 home runs, and 14 steals. But he's really been even better than that over the last month. I mean, in the month of September, let me try to pull up his stats here. I tweeted about it earlier. There it is. Or last 30 days, I should say. 313 average, 19 runs, 3 home runs, 15 RBI, 7 steals, and 14 walks. You know, he was really good start of the year and then kind of fizzled out a bit, but starting to get that little bit bigger power speed element to his game now. Obviously, what, 10, 12 home runs is probably still the expectation for him, but if he can be like a 10 homer, 20 steal guy with a super high average and, you know, maybe even like flirting with 100 runs scored over a full season, he probably deserves to be ranked a lot higher than anybody has him ranked right now. I know I've had him too low. That'll be corrected in my next update. But is Stephen Kwan top 100 for you, Chris? Or if not, do you see Kwan being top 100 dynasty in the near future?
I don't have him there yet, but I guess he could get there. I think it's underrated how much he's stealing. Like 19 has been really good this year. Could he steal more next year with the changes that we see?
Absolutely.
I think so. And as you mentioned, probably 10 home runs. That seems probably reasonable. He doesn't hit the ball hard at all, but he doesn't really need to. Look at you're going to just poke some out of the park when you have a 92.2% overall contact rate and a 95.5% zone contact. Like, he just doesn't swing and miss at anything. So he's putting so many balls in play. Like, things are just going to happen with him. Swinging strike rate is 2.9%. Like,
pretty good.
That's just so elite. Like, unfathomable elite, like we're looking at here with Kwan. So we knew the contact skills were there. Like, people thought he could hit 300, but nobody thought he would steal 20 bases. So if he does that and does it regularly with like a 10, 20, 300 is valuable. So how high willing to go on him? I don't know, but like, there's definitely value there.
So you're saying that he would not strike out against Sister Jean? That's what you're saying here.
Nope.
Basically.
Nope. He sure wouldn't.
You know what's crazy? His chase contact rate is 80.9%. His That's chase nuts. Contact. You know what the league average is? 58.3%.
Yeah.
So he is he's damn near 25% over league average, whiff rate's 8.7%.
Yeah.
I think he whiffs more in the Javi whiffs more in like a week than Kwan does in the season.
Probably. But,
yeah, you look at, obviously he's already established himself as one of the elite, elite contact guys in the game. I mean, he's hitting 301 for a reason, and then that might even be a bit low. Like, he's a guy that can hit 300 annually. I mean, yeah, maybe he gets up, you know, mid to, you know, 25, 26 steals, maybe even flirts for 30. Like, he's 19 this year. He's been stealing more of the second half of the year, and the new rules implemented next year could help. I think they're only going to help steals, so how much we'll see, but he's got 86 runs scored this year too. So like,
yeah,
I think 100 runs, 10, 12 home runs, 25 steals, 300 average. You know, that's like, you know, somewhere in like the Tommy Edman, Whit Merrifield, well, the older, the younger Whit Merrifield, I should say, not this year's Whit Merrifield, obviously, but yeah, if he can settle in as that type of guy, I think that's top 100. Like, we've seen that we ranked Whit Merrifield top 100. We've ranked, yeah, Edmund top 100, so I think absolutely he should be. We'll see how that Cleveland lineup looks behind him. Obviously, you got Joe Ram there. We'll see, you know, who steps up to kind of fill up that lineup and be the bigger contributors there. But definitely, I think he's been underrated. I think he's starting to get the love here. I've seen some people say that he's AL Rookie of the Year, even over like a Julio Rodriguez. You know, I don't think the same way, but you know, that's just where Kwan definitely deserves to be in like that top 4 to 5 picture, absolutely. So. Yeah, definitely think he's undervalued and a good buy right now. So I think people don't fully realize like how good Kwan can be, or and at least how safe he can be. I think that's a better way of putting it.
Very high floor.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, it was a good point to transition over into. Obviously, Aaron Judge. He's on our list here, but Aaron Judge. We know about Aaron Judge.
Yeah,
we talked about him recently. Let's go over to Dalton Varsho. He's another name we got on our list here, and Varsho quietly has been putting up a very good year, 27 home runs and 13 steals. But at the same time, this is second year in a row. Unless he has a huge surge here over the last, you know, week or so of the season, he's going to hit under 250 for the second straight year. He's currently at 241. Last year, he was at 246. So, which is odd because he was, I believe, if not a 300 career hitter in the minors, he was damn close to it. So, kind of peculiar to see him drop down to being a sub 250 guy. But you know, I put out a tweet, you know, tonight, so on Wednesday night when you're listening to this, you know, is I have a definitive top four for 2023 catchers. I'm starting to like work on my rankings here, as I mentioned, for those. And it's him, no particular order. It's him, it's Will Smith, it's Adley, and it's JT. I think that's, you know, Kirk is second tier for me, but with Varsho, obviously flirting with 30-15 as a catcher is pretty damn good, but I think I put him fourth among those guys just because I think he has the lowest floor of those four. Adley's already proven to be pretty damn safe. Will Smith is probably the safest of that list, and JT's still stealing a ton of bags, which is definitely valuable. But for Varsho himself, if he's going to be a guy that can flirt with 30-15 with catcher eligibility, and hopefully he can hold on that, he'll have it next year. We'll see how many years after that he has it. But if he can do that while posting, you know, 150-ish combined runs in RBI, you know, obviously 240, you'll live with that. But is he top 100 overall for you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, the average doesn't concern me that much when we think about the catcher landscape. Like,
that's 240
is fine. I mean, the rare exceptions that you have are going to hit for higher average. But when you get the power speed element and that Arizona lineup, I think it's going to be better. I mean, but man, JT's 21-18. I did not expect JT to steal that much in age 31 season.
He hasn't been caught stealing either.
No, it's nuts.
18 for 18, which is, yeah. Insane.
Yep, that is insane. Yeah, this is random, but I wonder who stole the most bases without being caught. I'm really curious.
In a season?
No, just this year. Like, who has the most steals without being caught?
We can, if you want to talk for a second, I can pull that up.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. I just want to just. Curious. So yeah, anyway, on Varsho, I think that he's got to be top 100, man. He's been so good, and you can live, as I said, with that kind of batting average when you're getting the power speed. The run RBI total should go up because I think that lineup will be better. Arizona was good down the stretch. I mean, people kind of underrate what they did, but yeah, they've got some talent there. So, yeah, the top of the catching pool is in good hands. So, I definitely want somebody from that first tier for sure.
Yeah, as do I. And to answer that question, it is JT. Nobody else has more steals without getting caught. I'm trying to see who at this point is second behind him. Let's see. The next one was zero caught stealing is Tim Anderson at 13 steals.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
That's it.
Interesting.
And then I think that they're the only two that are above 10. Let me just look the next page. Yep, they're the only ones with 10 because I can't even find the next one, but I'm already down to 8 steals. So, yeah, it's just Tim Anderson and JT, and one's a catcher. That's just absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love you, JT. All the power to you. Keep stealing them bags. We love it. But, yeah, that's it. It's a definitive top four for me. You can probably order those any which way. I won't have, you know, really any issues with it. But, yeah, Varsho with his power-speed blends, keep – even without catcher eligibility, it's still obviously extremely valuable with his power speed. I think the average can tick up too. I don't think he's going to be 240 his entire career. Like I said, we've seen him do better than that in the minor leagues. Now, it is discouraging that his XBA is 215 this year, but from what I've seen, his quality of contact is pretty solid. You know, 10.4% barrel rate is pretty good. Everything else is about league average, but I'm just going off what I've saw him in the minor leagues. I just don't think he's a 240 guy for the entirety of his career. So maybe it's just 250, 260, but even this, a nice little bump there, go with that power speed. And yeah, he might even be, if he can get up to 260, he's top 50, I think. But we'll see if that can happen. Sticking with Arizona here, Jake McCarthy, you know, he went on the IL. Not the IL. What did he get? Was it the bereavement list he went on? Missed some time? I forget what it was. But overall, McCarthy's been an absolute, you know, waiver wire darling this year. This is another guy that, you look at what he's done, just right around half a season worth of plate appearances, 324. He's hitting 284, 348 OBP, 8 home runs, and 20 steals. Now, you got to wonder where the power ends up, but the power metrics are, you know, slightly below league average. Maybe he's only like a, you know, 10 home run guy at most, but the speed is absolutely legit. Like, he stole a ton of bags in the minor leagues. He's a 99th percentile sprint speed right now. This could be a guy, if you give him a full-time role, you give him 600-plus weight appearances next year, he might steal 40 bags or at least like 35 or so. So I think he's a guy that's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where he falls in drafts next year, because obviously speed is coveted in any draft, any format, redraft, dynasty, whatever. So I want to see where he falls, but I think he could be a guy that, like, I think there's some staying power here with Jake McCarthy. I don't think this is a fluke entirely.
No, I don't think so either. And he's been really good. And it's important to note that he just turned 25, former, you know, competitive balance round, near first round pick, 39th overall in 2018. So always kind of had that pedigree, just never really developed in the minors, didn't really develop much power, which I guess was the concern in the field of hit, like had some questions, but he's really shown what he's capable of this year with a good zone contact rate, good overall contact, you know, the power. I mean, shoot, like he has 8 and 321 plate appearances, 8 home runs, that is. So why couldn't he be 20 steals right now? Like, dude, could he get a 40, like 15-40? Like, that could be crazy with a good average. I guess the question is, are they going to play him every day? And if so, I think he's just such a sneaky value, honestly. Like, I really like what Jake McCarthy's done.
Yeah, and I might have been selling him a little bit short on the power. I do think 15, that's definitely a reasonable expectation for him. But, yeah, even if you just get 10 to 15 home runs, 30-plus steals, solid average as well. He's always hit for a pretty good average. That's a damn good player. Like, that's top 100 caliber right there, too. I don't have him ranked near top 100 right now. I think I might have put him near 200 in my dynasty rankings. I think he's in that range. But definitely has a good chance he could keep rising if given the playing time. Except there's a lot of mouths to feed in the Arizona outfield, and so they're only going to add more. Like, a lot of their top pro, obviously they added Corbin Carroll. You got to figure he's going to be, you know, started, you know, regularly. At least they should. I don't know why they wouldn't. And you got more coming up. So, and I don't think this would be a long leash with McCarthy, but I think he's definitely earned what he's done in the second half of this year. He's definitely earned the right to start next year as a full time, like, unquestioned starter.
I agree. Yeah. And I mean, even if he's a platoon, he's a strong side platoon. Like, he could easily get 500 plate appearances, I think.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely. So, yeah, love. Yeah, I wish I had gotten more. I think I got him in like a couple leagues, but I wish I had gotten him in more leagues because he's been so damn good, you know, over the second half of the year. Like, he's probably been a top 25 fantasy player second half of the year.
Yeah.
Would you say about that?
Yeah, he's been ridiculously good.
Yeah. Yeah, another player that's been pretty damn good in the second half that is just getting overshadowed due to what Aaron Judge is doing, and that's Pete Alonso here. You know, overall, in the second half of the year since the All-Star break, Pete Alonso, 278, 361, 534 with 16 home runs and 53 RBI and just 266 plate appearances. For the year, he's now up to 40 and 131 with 91 runs scored and that 269 average, kind of settled into that 260, 270 range, about 350 OBP, about 40 home runs and 131 RBI, which I believe Judge is right around 131 RBI as well. I think they're probably pretty close. But 40, 131, about a 270 average, 90 runs scored, maybe adds a little bit to all of that before end of the year. Is this a case where do you think Alonso should be like a top 25 guy moving forward? I think there's definitely a strong case for that.
Yeah, he's shown that for sure. There's four hitters in Mets history to hit 40 home runs, and Alonso's done it twice now. Now,
there's four hitters. Do you have the other three in front of you?
Yeah, sorry. He's the fifth. Yeah, no, there's four. Him included four. So, yes. Can you name the other three?
Mike Piazza.
Yep, he hit 40 in 99.
So, wait, was this just 40 home runs?
Yes, just 40 home runs in Mets history.
Did Daryl Strawberry do it?
He did not.
I'm probably missing somebody obvious. Mo Vaughn didn't hit 40 when he went there, did he?
He did not.
I'm sure Mets fans are screaming at me right now. I'm probably missing someone. Is it someone blatantly obvious that I'm missing right now?
Maybe, but I don't always associate, you know, this player with this team.
I'm not. Who are the other two?
Carlos Beltran and Todd Hundley.
Okay, Beltran, I probably could have gotten if I thought a little bit longer. I would not have. Todd Hundley hit 40 home runs in a year.
He hit 41 in 96.
All right, was that a juiced number?
I don't know.
I don't like to insinuate, but that's just, I don't know. That Todd Hundley hit 40? That's just,
yeah.
How many did he have his career?
Like, I don't know.
70? Like, I bet you he, let me look that up real quick.
202.
He had 200 home runs in his career.
He did.
Man, I guess I didn't realize that Todd Hundley was, you know, that good. Obviously not like a stud, but man, he actually had a decent career. Where were we at? Oh yeah, Pete Alonso. Kind of got sidetracked there.
Sorry, yeah. Random Mets facts.
Random Mets trivia. But yeah, I think Alonso should be. Where do I have him? Do I have him? Did I already put my dynasty rankings up? Oh, I already have him up. I shouldn't. Let's see. Alonso, I currently have 25 on the dot, but in terms of first baseman for dynasty, it's Vlad and then him. And he probably should be pretty close to Vlad. Like,
yeah,
there's not a big gap, I don't think. Obviously, Pete is about 4 years older, so that definitely puts him down a little bit. But I think he's a clear cut. Actually, Freddie Freeman's right there, too. But Freddie Freeman's obviously 33 years old. Who would you have, if you had a startup right now, would you go Freeman or would you go?
Probably Pete. I mean, just because of age.
Yeah, he's about five and a half or so years younger.
Yeah, that matters.
And then there's a drop off to Olsen. We could have put him as a dud second half as well. Bad.
You're right.
Yeah, I think he's down to like 230 overall. He's really been kind of tanking the second half of the year. Yep. And then you got the Goldie. I have Goldie around 50. Goldie's hard on the rank too. Goldie's been a stud the entire year, but he's also 35 years old. So like, how high realistically can you go on a Goldie in dynasty? Like, I think 50 is fair. I guess you could put him higher, but I don't know. It'd be risky to put someone 35 years old much higher than that. But
yeah.
But Alonso definitely is, I think, put himself in that number two dynasty first baseman discussion here ahead of Freddie Freeman, who's 5.5 years younger then. So yeah, really, it's a really good year that I think it's just overshadowed by what Judge is doing. Judge has 61 home runs right now. So
100%.
Yeah. All right, let's get going here. We're getting a little long in the show here. Some other names we have on the list for hitters: Seth Brown, Eugenio Suarez, Randy Arozarena, Michael Harris are the other ones here. Anybody else you want to hit on here, Chris?
No, I mean, we've talked. I mean, Michael Harris is a stud. Like, Randy Arozarena's been really good this half, too.
He's
been really underrated with the power speed. So I think he's like, I didn't put him high enough, but I think he's probably should be in top 50 for dynasty. Eugenio Suarez, man, he's been really good. And the power's there. The average is back up. It's like he's been revived, which has been good to see. So, you know, he still strikes out a lot, but you know, Suarez has been good to see what he's done. Yeah, I don't know how much I believe in Seth Brown long term, but he's been really good as well. So some fun names, interesting ones, some interesting ones to buy, some not so much, like Seth Brown not really buying, but
no,
still it's, you can't exclude him because he's been really good this half.
Yeah, and I think you definitely need to have a Rosarena top 50. Like, he's 2020 back-to-back years, 20 home runs, 32 steals. This year he's kind of settled in as like a 270 ish hitter. You know, he'll get you, you know, like 2021, he had 94 runs, 69 RBI. This year, it's almost been flip-flop, 69 runs, 88 RBI. So he's always in like that 160-ish combined, you know, runs and RBI range with 20 home runs and 20-plus steals. So I think, I'm not sure why he's getting undervalued now. It's kind of funny after he was very much overvalued about, I don't know, a year and a half ago or whatever right. It was.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny to see that swing the other way, even though he's had a very good year. Are there any other 2030 guys this year?
No. He's the only one.
I know J-Rod's close, but I think J-Rod's still at like 28 steals or so. Here, let me just look real quick. Are there any other 2030 guys? Sort by steals. Nope, just him. You got Witt's at 2028. J-Rod is at, oh, he's at 27 home runs, 27-25. Witt's the one I was thinking of that was close.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are probably the other two that are closest, and they're both rookies. And he got at least 25-25. Ticker's 29-24. But yeah, he's the only 2030. Mullins, if he gets four home runs in the next like 6 days, could get there, but he's 16-32. And Mateo's 13-34. Well, cool. Hitting 222. But yeah, I think very underrated. Not underrated, but undervalued at this point, which is very odd. But going over to pitchers here, we have, how many do we have on the list here? Five. Zach Gallen, Julio Urias, Tristan McKenzie, Drew Rasmussen, and Brady Singer. We already kind of hit on Singer a little bit earlier when Chris asked me who I'd rather have between Singer and Boz, which is a difficult question. But, you know, Gallen, we've talked a bit about. I think let's go with Julio Urias here because he's one where, again, I don't get why no one's really talking about how quietly kind of just great he's been this year. Which is like, and he's a guy that was considered a, you know, ace or at least borderline ace coming into the year. And he's done nothing but impress and maybe even exceed expectations in 29 starts, 164 innings, 225 ERA, 0.95 whip. Yeah, the K rate hasn't been anything special, but he's still like slightly above league average at 24.4%, which is right on the nose with his career mark, 24.4. But, you know, all the ERA indicators are below 3, xERA is 2.7. It doesn't give up a lot of hard contact. He's actually one of the league leaders in not giving up hard contact. And walk rate's always been pretty solid as well. So why doesn't he get more love, Chris? He's on the Dodgers too. It's not like he's on like Pittsburgh or Kansas City or Cleveland. Like, he's on the Dodgers.
Right.
You figured he'd be getting talked about more, but I think he's kind of established himself as a top 10 guy for redraft and dynasty.
Yeah, people just want to crap on him because he didn't strike out enough batters, but you can live with it when you're getting kind of ratios you do. Since 2019, he's thrown 484 innings. And he has a 2.68 ERA and a 1.02 whip. Like, that'll play all day long. Absolutely. Durability questions? Guess what? He threw 185 last year. He's at 164 right now, so he's probably going to surpass 170. Since last year, 2.63 ERA in those 350 innings and a 0.98 whip with a 25% K rate. Like, and he doesn't walk anybody. So, you know, he's living 20% K minus BB, which is excellent. Like, I'm not sure why everybody is just kind of ignoring. I won't say everybody's ignoring, but I just feel like he doesn't really get the boost that he deserves. I think he's a really good arm that's really underrated.
As do I, yeah. 100% agree with that. All right, so out of all these studs we have talked about here in second half, Chris, if you could pick one hitter and one pitcher on our list to sell high on, who would that be?
Ooh, sadly, probably selling Anthony Santander. I just feel like you can probably cash out. You know, he could hit 35 home runs this year, and I'm just not sure he'll do that again. Like, and what kind of average we get? Seth Brown's another one I may cash out on if possible. The arm that I'm cashing out on for sell high, man, these are some good arms in this group. Man, I don't want to say Tristan McKenzie, but
that's where I was leaning.
You know, and I'll be quick to say, like, the durability concerns have gone a bit. Like, he's thrown 180 innings this year. So, you know, Cleveland just has a way with their pitchers. So, golly, I don't know. This one's tough. Maybe Rasmussen, but I like Rasmussen too. So, it's tough to find a clear sell high, in my opinion.
For me, I'll probably say Eugenio Suarez, just because we've seen what the floor is, and the floor is, it's not good. It's scary. It's dingy. It's dirty. It's just not usable for fantasy. So I'm always worried that that's going to come back. And you see, like, even the good Suarez, you know, it's his profile is not as valuable as it used to be, because there's a lot of low average, you know, good power guys. Obviously, he has, you know, a bit more power than that, but I've seen what happens when the bottom drops out with Suarez. So he'd probably be the one I'd sell high. And, you know, Santander is a decent sell high as well. I'm not really sure if I'm selling, you know, Seth Brown is whatever, but, you know, we talked about Judge as a potential, you know, sell high, always one to listen on, but all the rest, I'm not sure I am, at least for the hitters. Like, I think Kwan is legit. I think Harris is legit. Rosarena, you know, Alonzo, Varsho, McCarthy, I think they're all legit. So if anything, buy on them, depending on the price. For pitchers, it's not Gallen, it's not Urias. It's probably one of the other three, McKenzie, Rasmussen, and Singer. You know, I wonder if we've seen the best we'll probably see from Singer and Rasmussen this year. Like, I don't see Singer being like an annual 3-year ERA guy. So I'd entertain selling high on any of those three. McKenzie, I think, is the best of that trio, but I still worry about the frame, the previous durability concerns, the back issues. Those don't just magically disappear. Those have a way of kind of popping up very easily. Doesn't take much to tweak your back, especially when you get to your 30s. I know he's not near his 30s. I'm just saying it for myself. Like, you sleep the wrong way in your 30s. It sucks. But Chris, you're not 30. You're turning 30 soon.
I'm 28. I'll be 29 in March.
Okay, so yeah. you'll find that out soon enough. But yeah, I just worry about the back issues with McKenzie. But I'd be okay selling high on any of those three, but not on Gallen or Urias. I think they're both fantasy aces for the foreseeable future. All right, that's going to wrap us up, though. Thanks to everyone for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed. Like I said, we're going to be really cranking out. We'll get on the one episode a week for next probably 2 months or so, but still doing a lot of content on HQ, on our Patreon. You know, we'll still have consistent stuff coming out here as well. So a lot of fun stuff here, a lot of rankings updates as we get into the off season, and a lot of fun stuff. So check out our Patreon. Check out all the stuff on HQ. Still got a lot of stuff going on. You can follow us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04, and our show's at Fantrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work over at Fantrax HQ or on our Patreon, of course. And join us again next time for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, everyone take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.